Chapter 1, Romans chapter 1. Let's stand, if you would, out of respect of God's word. And we're going to see in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 is going to be our main verse here. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. The Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Notice it says here, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation." And it is that power. And because of that, there's something he said in verse 15. So skip back to verse 15, if you would. Verse 15, it says this, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Because the gospel is powerful, and because of so many elements we're going to see tonight, he said this truth, that I am ready to preach the gospel myself. Can you say tonight that I am ready to give the gospel to others? May you make that decision and say with Paul that same conclusion, I am ready. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, I do pray that you'd help us to get to the place of full readiness, that you would use us and help us and encourage us. Lord, thank you for how you've already worked this week and meeting with us. Obviously, Spirit of God speaking to us last night. I pray that you would channel through us and flow through us. Help us tonight to be able to see the next step in this and what you would have for us going forward in seeking revival and seeking souls. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. In Bible college, I asked for a friend that would love the Lord and love souls, and God gave me that type of friend. I'm very thankful for him. And I was the kind of guy that I would say, hey, let's think about it, let's plan it. He was the guy that would say, let's do it first and think about it later. He's just total opposite. And he was just all the time wanting to do something to win souls. And he said, hey, Chris, will you go downtown with me? You know, there's an outreach, and I don't know, it was Friday night, Saturday night, whatever it was. And we go downtown and we witness on the main street. And I said, sure, I'll go. And so there's a group of us, maybe 12 or whatever, and we're down there. And the rules were simple. Number one, stay on the main drag. It's light there, you know. Off in the other side streets, it's bad neighborhoods, don't go there. And we can see each other, kind of keep each other accountable. And we'll just go along the streets and such, and people are milling around or coming out of bars or whatever. And we're just going to be witnessing to them all throughout this neighborhood. And second rule is don't take any money with you because you don't want to get mugged. And we went, and we broke both rules right away. And so he said, hey, Chris, you want to hey, follow me. I'm like, this isn't the main drag. Oh, no, it's okay, follow me. So we go in this side neighborhood, and it gets dark. I mean, it's dark, and there's hardly any street lights and everything. We're knocking on doors, and nobody's answering it because it's late at night, and it's in a bad neighborhood. I wouldn't open my door. And they're on the inside going, go away, you know, stuff like that. Nobody's opened the door. Well, we keep walking. And so now we're at an intersection where it's just, I mean, it's really dark part, and there's no street lights. On three corners of the intersection is completely dark. It's like a house over here, vacant lot over here, something, house or whatever there. But on one corner, there's this like shady establishment. Bars on the windows, bars on the doors, like a liquor store or something. And there's this overhang that comes out at the corner, and there's a one single door that enters from the corner. And from that overhang is one single incandescent light hanging there. You kind of get the idea? And that's how I felt. And we're walking around the corner, and then all of a sudden, two guys come around the corner. I'm just kind of jumped. Well, this 6'4" farm boy that's with me, he wasn't startled at all. And we start getting in conversation, and we try to give him the gospel. Well, then they ask for money. And so he said, oh, I don't have any money. Then he turned to me, and he said, hey, Chris, do you have any money? I wanted to lie because I had $10, and $10 is a lot for a college student. And I said, yeah. He said, I'll pay you back, and I knew he'd be good for it. And so I gave it, and then he handed it to the guys, and then they stayed for 45 minutes and heard a gospel presentation. No, they didn't stay at all. What did they do after they got the money? They took off, yeah. So they went off the other direction. Well, this whole time, someone was watching us from across the street, from that vacant lot. And car lights came on. And the car came racing over. And then there were some other lights on the car on top of the car. And those lights came on too. And one officer came out and said, "You hold it right there." And another one went right around and got the other two guys. They thought we were doing drugs. We said, "No, we're just telling them about Jesus." "Oh, yeah, right." But we're just constantly getting in trouble when I was with my friend. But he was ready to give the gospel. I think of him, he just always had a readiness to give out the gospel. Now, God is waiting for you to be ready to win souls as we go forward from these services. God is obviously, and I thank the Lord genuinely, how there's been such a tenderness here this week, an attentiveness to the Spirit of God, and a readiness to receive what the Lord would be teaching us. And I believe moving forward, God would have us see this truth and how it's helped me in going forward saying, "Okay, Lord, help us to have a readiness now to be able to win souls." If we're going to have an effective witness, there needs to be four elements that need to be ready for someone to be saved. And let's look at these four elements. Number one, the gospel. And the gospel, we're going to say this, is ready. Number one, the gospel is ready. In verse 16 of Romans chapter 1, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Now, the word gospel means good news. I'm not ashamed of the good news message of Jesus Christ. When it says ashamed, it's the idea of disappointed. Have you ever gotten anything and it's been disappointing? Maybe a gift or a product that you thought was going to be good quality, and then it wasn't, and now you're disappointed in it because it didn't work properly or have the intended effect. But notice it says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." The dunamis, dynamite power. I remember as a kid, we would get fireworks. And sometimes you like the firework, and sometimes it just didn't work. What would you call that? You call them a what? It's a dud, right? And we would wait, you know, and should we go closer? Do we kick it? You know, we didn't know whether you have a delayed response and going off. You know, look, what he's teaching here is that the gospel is not a dud. The gospel will do its intended work. Now, people need to receive. It says it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. If you're here tonight and you're hearing the good news, and we're going to go through the good news, that Jesus Christ died for our sins in our place, if you believe, then it can affect you. It can influence you. And it's going to be powerful in your lives. And you're going to see what God can do in your life. If you have already been saved, can you say amen? Say, "I know that." Okay, then you've believed and you've experienced the power of God, but maybe someone here has not. Would you make the decision to believe on the gospel and receive what God has for us? As we're in Romans, let's see the gospel in this powerful message. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Romans 3:10 says this, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." What does that mean? Well, in a basic sense, it just means there's no one that does right all the time. We all have to admit that we are sinners. And it goes through a whole bunch of list of things in verse 11. "There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one." It keeps on going. It talks about violence. It talks about using our mouth in an inappropriate way. It talks about all kinds of sins of the heart and external sins as well. And it concludes this in verse 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." In other words, means it falls short of God's perfection. We are all sinners. As a result of our sin, what does the Bible say? In Romans 6 and verse 23, the Bible says this. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The bad news, we're sinners. The further bad news is because of our sin, we deserve to be separated from God. That's the payment of our sin. But the good news is that the gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. It is a gift that's been paid for. A gift always has to be paid for by the giver, and it always has to be free to the recipient. Jesus paid for the gift, and the Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now notice, if you're looking at Romans 5:8, the word commendeth. It doesn't mean command, but there's an E there, commend, commendeth. It's a word that means demonstrated, displayed, or showed. If I'm going to show my wife I love her, perhaps I'll give her flowers. Maybe I'll take her to her favorite restaurant. Maybe I'll do something I know is an act of kindness or love that would really resonate with her, and then I would show her, I love you, and I'm dedicated to you and to you alone. Well, as I do so, I'm showing my love. How did God show his love toward us? Jesus Christ, his son, died for our sins. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that he died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again according to the scriptures. Jesus didn't just die, but he rose again. And that is the good news. And whoever believes on that message, as Romans 1:16 says, that receives and feels the impact of the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now, I don't know what your background is. I don't know what you think about God, where your understanding is. But if you understand that you're a sinner, because of your sin, you deserve to be separated. But God loved you so much, he showed his love, and he sent Jesus to die for your sins. And you believe on Jesus as your Savior, you can be saved. And you can be saved today. You know, today, it's a good day because a student in the school got saved. And he's sitting up here on the front row before the kids were dismissed. And it was great to hear him sing, I'm saved. And he was singing out, too. I don't know if you've ever heard the song, but he's just reading it. He's picking up he was even picking up the melody and the song from the duet. I wasn't even doing that. And he was singing the words and all those things. He's singing it. And after he got saved today, he said, I feel happier. And he told other people, you know what? I'm happier now that I've trusted Jesus. Now, you could do the same thing today, and you could be saved as well. And isn't salvation wonderful? The gospel is ready. Number one, the gospel's ready. But there's a second element that needs to be ready, and what is that? The lost. That is the unsaved. Let's understand this. Number two, the lost are ready. This message, I'm going to jump around to some other passages so you can leave Romans. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 4. Find John chapter 4 and find verse 35. John 4, verse 35. So first of all, we see the gospel is ready. Number two, the lost are ready. John chapter 4 and verse 35. The Bible says this, say not ye there yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I was a city boy. I grew up on the east side of Indy in a bad neighborhood, and I didn't know what it was meant to have a farm or whatever to be white already to harvest. And so what's this mean? He says, look on the fields. Don't just look and see how massive they are. Lift up your eyes, look on the fields, and see, notice something about them. They are white already to harvest. It's harvest time ready. So Jesus is likening people and souls to this farming illustration of sowing, cultivating, sowing, and then watering, and then harvesting the fruit from that seed that has been sown. You know, this is, by the way, it's not an overnight process. What we like is for someone to hear the gospel the first time and get saved. But for the most part, our experience is people need to hear the gospel multiple times. And I'd encourage you to do this. As you're giving the gospel to people, before you ever even get them to come to a service and hear the gospel, get the gospel conversations going. Get them to answer and ask questions and start to pique their interest and have conversations along the way. And then when they come to the service, they're already getting ready and they can be saved. And that's exactly the case with many souls. But it says here that the harvest is ready. You know what? There are people ready to be saved right now. Not just in Africa, not just in the Philippines or Myanmar, not just in some other countries, but right here in America, people are ready to be saved. We were up in Wisconsin just last year, and we're praying that God would help us on the friend night, and God would give us divine opportunities, and people would come in, and I'm preaching, and right there's a lady walks in, and she sits down. And right when she's sitting down, it's already in my message. I'm just planning to say this. I said, you're not here by accident. You're here because God wants you to be here so you could hear this message and trust Jesus Christ the Savior. And she is just glued to me. And as I give the gospel, then she responds and she comes in the invitation and she trusts Christ the Savior. I said, who invited you? She said, no one invited me. I've been driving past this church for years and thinking, I've got to go there. I've got to go there. And here we are. It was like a Thursday or a Friday night. And they always would stop their revival meetings on Wednesday. And I said to the pastor, why don't we go a little longer? He said, okay, we'll try it. and he's so glad that he did. And he said, she said, I never see cars here on a Thursday or Friday night. And she said, I need God. And I needed something, and I had to pull in. You know what? That's the Lord. And then she was ready to be saved. Same type of thing. Guy in Indianapolis, Indiana, just last year. Preaching along, and he comes in. Who invited you? Nobody. He responds, and he is just ready to receive the gospel. He said, for years, I thought you had to be good. But now I see you just trust Jesus Christ alone. He came back that night, he came back another night, he brought a friend. It was just incredible. There are people ready to be saved. That particular revival meeting, there were ones that were saved from 2 years before, and they're coming, and he brings his mom, that meeting, she gets saved. He brings a friend, she gets saved. They get another one. It's just like this gold mine of people, and just one right after another, like 12 people in this small church trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Why? Because, folks, people are ready to hear the gospel and be saved. You're like, oh, no, no, no. Maybe someplace else, but not in Illinois. You know, not here. And the reality is, oftentimes, we judge and we perceive based on our experience. And so we take our experience and we have this filter that we look through and we say, I don't know if that's true or not. But what does it say? It says, lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Notice it doesn't say they will be. They shall be, but they are. So would you put away your experience and trust God that it's true? That, as one evangelist says, this is a present reality. It's true right now. There are people who are ready to be saved. So then you say, okay, if that's true, then where are they? Legitimate question, and the next point brings the answer. If it's going to be true that we're going to have an effective witness and people are ready to be saved, okay, number one, the gospel has to be ready. The gospel is ready. Number two, the lost have to be ready. The lost are ready. Number three, the Holy Spirit is ready. The Holy Spirit is ready to lead you to them and empower you to be able to see them saved. The Holy Spirit is ready. Look, if you would, let's go to the book of Acts. You can leave John and go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. The Holy Spirit is ready. And the Holy Spirit, I tell you, has been working in our hearts and our lives this week. And the Lord has just directed to be able to put an emphasis on the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives and reviving us, because he is the one that does quicken us and revive us and help us. Look, if you would, at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Look, if you would, at verse 26. The Bible says this, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah, or Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And if you would, look all the way down. It says in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. We see that the Holy Spirit is ready to do what? To lead you. To lead you to the people that are ready to be saved. You see, the one that's convicting them is the Holy Spirit. The one that knows this person is hearing the gospel for the very first time. They have more times that they need to hear the gospel. He knows that this person has heard the gospel so many times, if you literally knocked on their door, they would receive the gospel message. We have had more than one person say, I was in my home and I said, God, would you send someone to tell me the truth? Because could you imagine getting online? One of the reasons why we're doing videos is because I did a search on YouTube, how to get to heaven. And I got ad after ad from the Mormon church. And I got zero ads or good responses from a good gospel message. And I said, somebody's got to do something about this. We've got to get the gospel on video in a greater way. And there's a lot more now that has. But the truth is, there are people out there ready and looking, and they're running someone to lead them to Christ. And the Holy Spirit is wanting you to be led of Him. The Holy Spirit's ready to lead you, to direct you to them. There's a teen girl who was in one of our revival services, and I was preaching on the white harvest, and she said, you know, I made a decision, Brother Miller, to really believe that there is a white harvest, and there are people are out there ready to be saved. And you know, every Wednesday night, it was a pretty active youth group and church, and they would have soul winning and such, take the teens going out, then they come back for the Wednesday night service and a meal and such. She said, I would never go because I was scared. And she said, I'm going to go. And so she went, and her and another partner, the whole youth group was there, you know, and it's chaperoned, and had the youth pastor, whatever, and pastor's wife, you know, watching them. And so they go to the first door. Knock on the door. We're with such and such church. Would you like to? No, thank you. They wouldn't even take the things. Okay, thank you. Have a good day. Close the door. Next door. Would you like to have? I'm from. No, don't want any. Close it pretty abruptly. Third door. We're with such and such. Slam. Slam the door in the girl's face. Now, here's a 17-year-old girl, probably a 15-year-old girl with her. And they go out to the sidewalk, and they start crying. No, they don't do that. But would you kind of expect that? Like, whoa, this is pretty daunting. You know what she did? She did something I think was incredible. She said, we need to pray because the Bible says that there's a white harvest. We can't see it, but let's pray and ask God to lead us to those that are ready. And they stopped and they prayed and said, God, we don't see it right now, but you said, I like that. You said, Lord, there's a white harvest and we're going to trust you. So now would you please lead us to someone that's ready to be saved? Before they could say amen, they heard the squeaks of the brakes from a school bus. And kids were getting off school. Three public school kids came off, teenagers. They got in conversation with them, and all three of them trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Folks, that was a teenager who got a hold of the truth that there is a white harvest. When you begin to see this, it takes the pressure off of you. God doesn't say, you come up with this, you do this, you make this happen. No, He says this, the gospel's ready. The lost are ready. The Holy Spirit is ready to lead you. The fourth element that God wants to get ready is just simply you and me. You must be ready. I must be ready. In order for us to be ready, what needs to take place? Turn, if you would, to chapter 6 of Acts, and let's see the example of Stephen. There are three things that made Stephen in a place of readiness. Let's mention these three things and apply them to us. You and I must be ready. Notice in Acts chapter 6, in verse 5, the Bible says this, and the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Skip, if you would, down to verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So we see two elements that were in Stephen's life that are mentioned. He was full of faith, that's mentioned two times. The first time, then the second element was full of the Holy Ghost. The second was full of power. May I present to you that the second is the same. Power comes from the Holy Ghost. Power to witness comes from the Holy Spirit. So it's just another way of saying it. The Bible mentions this again in Acts 11 and verse 24, speaking of some individuals. This says, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. It switches the order, and it says, and people were added unto the Lord. So I believe, in order for us to be ready, like Stephen, to give the gospel, like others that gave the gospel, we need to be full of faith. I'll just mention full of power, that it's from the Holy Ghost. But then the third isn't listed, but I believe is implied. Full of obedience. Full of obedience. When it comes right down to it, isn't witnessing a matter of us with our will surrendering, yielding, and obeying to do it? But here's what happens. Okay, the three elements. If I'm going to be ready, full of faith, full of power, Holy Ghost, and full of obedience. But instead of having them in that order, we try to invert them. And we have it in this order. Just obey. You go out there and you be a witness for God. And you just be faithful. And you just do that. You go to door to door. You go to this and whatever method we want to say. And you go do this thing. And you just you try hard and you be a good soul winner. And you do it. You do it. You do it. And obey. Now go out there. You're like, whoa, that's scary, first of all. Am I really going to do it? Second of all, we try to put obedience first. And then say, dear God, would you fill me full of power and full of faith? May I present to you the other order? Would you say, dear God, fill me now full of faith? And what? In all that we've heard tonight, the gospel is ready. The lost are ready. There is a true white harvest. And the Holy Spirit is ready. Just to trust God in these areas. Full of faith. And then, Lord, I would you make me full of power with the Holy Spirit as I go. And then I'll obey. And watch. Now when we get to the obedience now, it's easy. It's not a difficult thing. It's not this huge hurdle of, I've got to really obey. This is so difficult. It is difficult. I'll admit that when it's up to us. But when we take the pressure off of us and we see God's put all the elements together, the gospel's ready, the lost are ready, the Holy Spirit is ready. I just need to be plugged in, be full of faith and trust Him, be full of the Holy Ghost to have the power and boldness, and then be full of obedience. So how can we be full of these three areas? First of all, it's full of faith. Full of faith. Would you depend upon the Lord to trust Him that He can use you? He can use you. And just trust Him. Depend upon Him specifically. I remember a deacon in one of the churches, he said, would you go out soul winning with me? I really want to see people saved. And he was a faithful man. He was a godly man. I just don't see one saved. And maybe it's been years. And he mentioned a pastor, and maybe you know him, I don't know, that he went years ago. But it's been so long, and I want to see people saved. And so we sat on the picnic table outside the church, and we prayed that people would be saved. But we prayed in a very persuaded way. There's times we say, dear God, would you say someone? And we ought to say that and pray it. But then there's times we say, God, would you say someone right now, today, when we go out? And Lord, we're trusting you that you're going to lead us to someone. And he did. Catholic man. By the last name of St. John. No lie. And we got there and we went through the gospel. And I said, we're not here by accident. And he was like, wow. And we started going through different things. And it was just so obvious. And he trusted Christ. But there's that first full of faith. Would you trust God and be persuaded and pray in faith and just say, dear God, help me to be convinced this is true. Secondly, full of power. Full of power comes from the Holy Ghost. Look, if you would, at Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, they're told not to preach the gospel. And so now they come to the Lord and they pray because they've been in prison, they've been beaten and all these things. Acts 4, 29. Acts chapter 4, verse 29, the Bible says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. They're praying. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Okay, no, just a second. So here they are. They've been in prison. They've been beaten, and they're threatened now. Don't you preach about Jesus anymore. Okay, now they go to God. They say, we need to have prayer meet. Why? Because we're scared. Everybody is. Let's just admit that. We're scared. So they go and they pray for what? For boldness. To do what? To speak. Isn't that where we stop? Why is it, we could share tracts, we could be able to text somebody, we can do all kinds of things, but the element that is the scariest is literally opening our mouth and speaking to someone. That's where we need the boldness and the power. Well, so that now they're praying for boldness. Look at verse 31, Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You say, wait a minute. They prayed for boldness, and the answer was they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And every single one of them. Yes, they got exactly what they asked for, because the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. With the boldness. That's what we need, folks, isn't it? To overcome our fear. Now look, if you're full of faith, dear God, this is true. What I'm hearing is true. Number two, if I'm full of power from the Holy Ghost to be able to be bold to speak, when it comes to speaking, when the Holy Spirit speaks, says, speak to that person, go to that one, give the tract to this person, invite that one, then it goes from being such a challenge and so difficult to now being easy, because we're already ready, in essence, at that point, because we're full of faith and we're full of power from the Holy Spirit. And the natural outflow is, dear God, I'll do it. This isn't my day, it's yours. This isn't my body, it's yours. This isn't my will, I'm yours. God, and I surrender to you. And the obedience comes, and God can help you. Would you say, dear Lord, help me to be full of obedience? I remember as God was showing me these things, I was in a revival conference with Dr. Rick Flanders in Michigan, and God was doing a great thing. One particular time, I was having to study, and I had to go to a coffee shop because I ran out of my son's fresh roasted coffee. And so I went to a coffee shop in Michigan, and I said, Lord, would you help somebody at the coffee shop to be saved? And I was really sincere, and I prayed several times about that. And so I'm at the coffee shop. I had the cards, and I had actually DVDs at that time as well, and I had some tracks, and I would see someone come in, and I tried to get a conversation with them. I gave them a track. See someone else, and hey, just want to offer this DVD to you, and give them a DVD, or give them a card, and all of these things. Like 14, 15, 16 people, tracks, things I gave out. But I didn't give the gospel in full to anyone, and no one got saved. And I left the coffee shop because I thought, Lord, I thought someone would be saved. Now, I don't know when someone's going to be saved or not. Sometimes I just have a real inclination of the Spirit that to be much more bold in faith with that way. But I said, Lord, I just thought someone would be saved. Well, then I met Dr. Flanders, and we went to Cracker Barrel, old people's restaurant, at 3 o'clock, old people time. So we ate at 3 o'clock, and so I had one track, one gospel DVD left. And I'm giving them out and such. I had one left, and I'm leaving afterwards, and I see the guy's blue collar under his jacket at the Cracker Barrel collar and shirt. I said, hey, you getting off work? He said, no, I just came in to see if I was working. I thought, why didn't you call? But he came in and he wasn't working. And I said, oh, well, hey, I have one of these DVDs, and it talks about how to know for sure you're going to heaven. Would you accept it? He said, sure. And he took it. And I said, you know, a lot of people don't think you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Yeah, I don't know about that. And said, and also, a lot of people think you just have to be really good. He said, oh, yeah, you have to be really good to go to heaven. I said, I've got him. Well, do you know what the Bible says about that? No. And I went through the gospel. Here's a young man, Gary, 23, 24 years of age. When I got to why did Jesus die on the cross, he didn't know. He didn't know. He had gone to church before, a couple times at least, but he didn't know why Jesus died on the cross. And for 45 minutes, 50 minutes, I talked to him. And finally, Gary, in the Cracker Barrel parking lot, trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. You know why? Because I was ready at a coffee shop. You say, Brother Miller, no, he was saved at Cracker Barrel. Yes, it's because I was ready at the coffee shop. So I was already at the coffee shop. I'm handing out things. I'm looking for the opportunity, the divine appointments. I thought it was then. That would fit my schedule. That's my plan. But God had a bigger one and a better one. He said, no, it's Gary over here. But I need you to be ready right here. And by the way, all that time I gave out 15, 16 things, and everyone took one. And I wouldn't have given all those out if I wasn't looking for the opportunity. But finally, the opportunity came, and the man that was ready was here. Would you say, dear God, help me to be ready at the coffee shop or at the restaurant or in my home or walking down the street or walking my dog or going to work. Help me to be in the place of readiness as we go forward. Would you say that tonight? Because you do not know how many Garys or how many other people are out there are ready and waiting, and how many Robs are out there. We were finishing one particular part of the conference, and we're shifting and going to another church and continuing the conference. I was heading back to the hotel that night, and I just had a kind of a dark thought of, man, it's just discouraged. It's just over. You know, it's like, it's not going to continue. You know, Satan wants to do that. He wants to say tonight, oh, no, the revival that God, I believe, is really stirring in this church, oh, it's over. Don't believe him. That's a lie. And I just had this thought, oh, it's over. So I'm heading to the hotel. Instead of going through the front door, I decide to go through the side door. And I'm getting out of the car, and I said out loud, it's not over. It was like, no, I'm just going to speak the truth. So I'm walking to the side door, and there's a guy out there, and he's having a smoke late at night. And I said, hey, how you doing? All right, I guess. So I said, it's a comfortable evening. He said, no, it's kind of cold to me. I'm like, he's in shorts. And I said, really? I said, where are you from? And he said, I'm from Florida Keys. I said, no way, I've been to Florida Keys. Where? Key West. I'm like, no way. I would never live there. And I said, Key West, so that's incredible. And I said, what are you doing up here? He said, I used to live up here, and my daughter's graduating, so I came back for the graduation. But man, I'm going through a hard time. And he just starts unloading on me. I don't know him. He just starts unloading. And I said, hey, Rob, I don't think it's an accident that we got to meet tonight. And his eyes got really big. And he said, I thought that as soon as you walked up, before he even said anything. I said, look, you need to hear what the Bible says, because that's going to help you with your problems. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? I think so, yeah. I said, how do you know? Well, I'm a pretty good person. And I said, okay, what else? And he literally said this, quote, I hang my hat on the Ten Commandments, end quote. I hang my hat on the Ten Commandments. I said, well, let's look at some of them. And he was obvious pretty quickly he had not kept the Ten Commandments, and he didn't even know all 10 of them. And I said, what do you think now? He said, yeah, I think I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. Yeah, that's true. And I showed him Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It was dark, and the lighting was so bad he couldn't see the Bible, so I just brought up the Bible app on the iPad, and I made it large enough, and I handed it to him. I said, would you read that? And he said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Well, that's what I'm doing. It's just the Holy Spirit was showing him right there. He goes, wow. And he keeps reading. It's not of works, and it's only through faith. I said, so you need to trust Jesus and Jesus alone. It's just like if you're drowning in Lake Michigan and you need to trust him and trust a lifeguard, you need to trust Jesus. And I said, you need to make that decision. And then all of a sudden, he just hands it back. I mean, just like he shoves it back to me. He could just take this. I go, I'm thinking, you're getting so close to the gospel. You're recognizing this is not by accident. This is divine. And you're going to give it back to me? And he shoves it back. He says, Chris, just tell me what to do. Just tell me what to do. I said, Rob, you can just trust Christ. And I explained to him. And he, in his own words, prayed and trust Jesus Christ to save you, just like the little boy did today. And he was saved. And I said to him again at the end, I said, Rob, you know, this isn't by accident. He said, that's more true than you know. I said, what do you mean? Let me read an email to you. And I have his email right now. Earlier that afternoon, he was going through such a problem, he sent this email to an independent Baptist pastor in the area that he didn't know, but he's just reaching out for help. He says this, good afternoon, my name is Rob, and I was hoping to connect with you, seeking some guidance and much-needed prayer. I need help. The man I perceive myself as, the one I strive to be, seems so far out of reach for me lately. I'm not sure what happened or where to start writing myself. I've had some eye-opening experiences lately, and I've come to a realization that my self-image is not in line with what I project. That was a difficult realization to come to, hard to swallow and admit. I see it now, though. And he goes through a lot of things. He says, I feel lost, in a sense. And then it says, I'm not the man that I want to be. I want to be a better man. I want to be the man that I see myself capable of being consistently. I come to you somewhat broken. I'm not sure you are willing to help me. I'm not sure where to start, but I figured this email would be a good first start, first step. He sent the email. The pastor replied and said, I can't meet with you. My schedule, I'm so sorry, I'm an hour away. My schedule's full. But there is a church that's having a conference tonight, 3 minutes from your hotel. Go there at 7 p.m. They'll share the Bible with you. They'll pray with you. They'll help you. Rob said, I'm going tonight. He laid down to take a nap. He fell asleep, and he slept past the service. And he said, great. I need help. I want help. God, I need you, and I don't know what to do, and I just missed it. I blew my last opportunity. That's it. I'm going outside and having a smoke. It's over. And right at that time, there was an evangelist getting out of his car saying, it's not over. You know what God's doing? He's putting divine opportunities like this together all the time. And he can use you. And he can use you. Would you tonight say, dear God, I want to be ready, full of faith, full of power, full of the Holy Ghost, and full of obedience. And as you do so, he can use you. He can help you. The weight is off you, and it's on to him and his word. And he will give you the boldness to speak and channel through you, like we talked about last night, his power to see other people saved. Tonight, I'd like to encourage you in just a few moments to make the decision, say, I'm ready to give out the gospel, and to raise your hand about it. But then I'd like for you to do this, is to come and have someone pray for you and with you about it. And just tell them, I am ready. And let them pray for you. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, I'm going to encourage you in just a moment. Would you, if you need to be saved, raise your hand, let me pray for you. But then step out while others do and come and let them pray. And so exactly here's what we're going to do. In just a moment, Pastor will stand on one side of the aisle, and I'll just stand on the other. And I'm going to encourage you to do something just unique, but it's going to be so helpful and encouraging. We're just going to stand there, and if God spoke in your heart in some way tonight about being ready, would you step up and just come, and all you have to say are those three words. I am ready. You can pray with pastor, you can pray with myself, it doesn't matter, it's your choice. Would you then, at that point, while we're standing there, we won't kneel, we won't sit, but just while we're standing there, we're going to briefly pray for you. You won't pray, but we'll pray for you. After we pray for you, would you then find a place, I'd encourage you at the front, but you could go wherever, back to your seat, wherever, and then you pray about it and make that decision. If you're here and you need to be saved, while others are coming and doing that, you do the same and just say, I'm ready to be saved. I'm ready to know about eternal life. And I'm going to encourage you. If there's 2, 3, 4 people, would you just wait and form a line? It's not going to take long. It won't be a long prayer. So in just a second, I'll encourage you to raise your hand. And then, I'm telling you all of this up front, so I'm not going to try to trap anybody. And then I'm going to just encourage you. Just feel free about it. Just to slip out, come, and just say those words, I am ready. And then we'll pray for you. If you do have someone specific you're burdened about, say, I'm ready, would you pray for my brother? Or I'm ready, would you pray for my dad? Something like that, we'd be happy to. And then let us pray for you, and then you pray on your own someplace, and then just be seated. Would you do that tonight? I'd encourage you to do so. And I believe it would be a great blessing to each of you and the church. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They were ready. Dear Marquette Manor Baptist Church, I believe we're ready. Let's respond to the Lord and allow Him to do His work in our hearts and our lives in a full way. Let's pray right now. Father, I pray for your help. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace and strength. And Lord, help us now just to respond to you obediently and appropriately during this time. Before we ask anyone to respond or come, I'm just going to ask those questions like I did.